Radio Prague News.
Czech President Václav Klaus has endorsed former Prime Minister Miloš Zeman, who is planning to run for president in next year's elections. Members of the opposition Social Democratic Party have complained that police overly target members of the opposition. And the region of Central Bohemia has decided to scrap problematic tenders worth 2 billion crowns. President Václav Klaus has endorsed former Prime Minister Miloš Zeman, who is planning to run for president in next year's elections, the Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reported on Monday. Mr. Zeman was an important figure in Czech politics and his candidature, a logical step in his career, the Czech president said. He added that candidates for the post of president should be people who had done something for the country and that Mr. Zeman was among them. Commenting on the president's endorsement, Mr. Zeman said that he appreciated his support. A group of 10 senators have nominated Mr. Zeman as their pick for the presidential race. However, they have yet to collect the 50,000 signatures needed to make his candidature official. Members of the opposition Social Democratic Party have complained that the police overly target members of the opposition. Referring to the arrest of MP David Rath 2 weeks ago, Deputy Party Chairman Jeroným Tejc told a debate program on Czech television at the weekend that the police were sending a signal that those who stole or were corrupt would go to prison if they were not in the government coalition. While allowing that Dr. Rath is probably guilty, Mr. Tejc and other Social Democrats have complained that corruption cases tied to the government parties, such as PromoPro or OpenCard, have cost hundreds of millions in public funds and have not been dealt with as vigorously. In continuing fallout from the arrest of former governor of Central Bohemia, David Rath, the region has decided to scrap problematic tenders worth 2 billion crowns. The projects include the reconstruction of Buštěhrad Chateau, the financing of which was apparently at the center of Dr. Rath's bribery charges. Other projects involve subsidies for hospitals in Kladno and Příbram and for Rath's hometown of Hoštovice. Nearly 20 tenders for road repairs were also cancelled. Police arrested David Rath 2 weeks ago, immediately after he received what they believe was a 7 million crown bribe. Now, turning briefly to the weather, conditions over the coming days are expected to be partly cloudy to overcast, with scattered showers and daytime highs of around 25 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. And my name is Sarah Barufka. Coming up in today's program, Czechs have been marking the 70th anniversary of the Heydrich assassination. We have all the latest sports news. And in one-on-one, we speak to one of the country's most prominent journalists, political commentator Jindřich Šidlo.
And I told my mother that I wanted to study journalism, and she said that I was crazy.
All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. A series of events held in Prague and elsewhere over the weekend marked the 70th anniversary of the assassination of Reinhard Heydrich, a top-ranking Nazi official and the ruler of the occupied Czech lands. While dozens of people came to see a reconstruction of the assassination, a mock concentration camp was erected in central Prague in the memory of the victims of Nazi retaliation. Jan Richter has the details.
An original Czech radio recording from June 1942 lamenting the death of Reinhard Heydrich is an impressive backdrop to a partial replica of a concentration camp erected in Prague's central Karlovo náměstí. Complete with wooden barracks, a watchtower and barbed wire, the site is dedicated to the people who helped the British-trained Czech and Slovak commandos with their mission and were often murdered in the aftermath. Mikuláš Kropa from the Post Bellum Association is one of the organizers.
One of the stories people will not forget is that of Oldřich Frolík, who the Gestapo came to arrest in 1942. When the officers banged on his door, he opened and said, "Just a moment, I will just get my coat." He reached for his gun and shot two of the three Gestapo men dead while the third ran away. Frolík came down the stairs and drove off in the Gestapo car.
Oldřich Frolík helped the Czech paratroopers with food and weapons and provided a hiding place for them. The Nazis captured him some time after his heroic escape and executed him along with his entire family. An estimated 5,000 Czechs paid for Heydrich's death with their lives, including 3,000 Czech Jews who were immediately sent to Nazi death camps. Eduard Stehlík is a historian for the Czech Army's Historical Institute.
Ty následné represálie byly skutečně děsivé.
The reprisals were truly terrible. Some 300 people were murdered because they were relatives of those who helped the commandos. Josef Gabčík and Jan Kubiš were certainly brave soldiers, but they could never have achieved this without the help of these ordinary people.
On Sunday, military buffs, supervised by historians, reenacted the actual attack on the deputy Reichsprotector near the site where it took place on the 27th of May 1942. Historian Eduard Stehlík has in fact come up with an alternative theory about the event. The traditional account of the attack, based on a Gestapo report, says that Jan Kubiš threw a bomb that mortally wounded Heydrich only after Josef Gabčík's gun malfunctioned. But military logic, along with archive documents, lead Mr. Stehlík to believe the attack unfolded differently.
During their training, the commandos were taught to attack in the following way. First, to attack with two bombs. One was to hit the front of the car, stop the vehicle and kill the driver, while the other was to be aimed at Reinhard Heydrich. If he survived this, he was to be killed by gunfire. The materials specifically mention Sten guns as optional weapons.
Despite the malfunctioning gun, the attack was indeed successful, as Reinhard Heydrich died of his injuries 8 days later.
Thanks to Jan Richter for this report. And now it's time for the latest sports news.
We begin first with football. 11 days before the start of the European Championship in Poland and Ukraine, Czech football squad coach Michal Bílek has finalized the 23-man roster. Although the list of players will only be officially announced on Tuesday, the coach has already revealed a last-minute change. After a friendly at the weekend in which the Czech Republic defeated Israel 2-1, he added the name of 21-year-old Viktoria Plzeň midfielder Vladimír Darida, replacing Daniel Pugil on the roster. Darida came on in the second half against Israel, playing just 25 minutes. But it was enough to convince Bílek, who had apparently already been considering the player for the team. In the game against Israel, the Czechs won on goals from Milan Baroš, who converted a spot kick in the 17th minute, and Lafata, who scored in added time. The Czechs will play one more pre-Euro friendly, taking on Hungary on June the 1st. When the actual tournament gets underway, the Czechs will first play Russia, then Greece, then co-hosts Poland. In related news, football coach Michal Bílek has signed a new contract with the national team that sees him retain the post until the summer of 2014. The 12-month contract extension also keeps open the possibility of staying on for an additional year after that, if the Czech squad qualifies for the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. The 47-year-old Bílek took over the national team in 2009. In swimming, big news for Czech swimmer Petra Chocová, who won the 50-meter race in the breaststroke at the European Swimming Championships in Debrecen, Hungary on Sunday. The Czech athlete set the country's new record time of 31.25 seconds. At the ceremony, which included a playing of the Czech anthem, the swimmer found it difficult to keep her emotions in check.
I tried to hold it in, but I broke out in tears of happiness. I tried to keep it cool, but I couldn't keep it all in. I guess it shows there is still room to move forward, and maybe my best is still to come. I don't belong on the junk pile yet.
And Czech cyclist Roman Kreuziger, a past finisher in the top 10 in both the Tour de France and Giro d'Italia, had a less than successful Giro this year, finishing just 15th overall. The race wrapped up on Sunday. The racer suffered what he called his worst day of his career on stage 17, suffering severe cramps in his legs, arms and neck that saw him finish 11 minutes behind the stage winner. He was unable to recover from the loss, but with a lot to prove, rebounded two stages later in stage 19, which featured five grueling climbs. On the day, he crossed the finish line 19 seconds ahead of the Canadian Ryder Hesjedal, who actually went on to win this year's Giro. That stage win marked Kreuziger's first Grand Tour victory, helping slash at least some of the disappointment in his overall performance. And finally, more than 1 month before the market on free agents opens in the NHL, speculation is growing about at least one Czech player, goalie Tomáš Vokoun, currently with the Washington Capitals. It is thought that the Toronto Maple Leafs could express an interest. The Leafs, who finished third from last in the Eastern Conference this year and failed to make the Stanley Cup playoffs by a wide margin, are looking for an experienced goalkeeper who won't command an exorbitant fee, the news website IDNA says. The Daily also writes that Vokoun considered Toronto when he was first leaving the Florida Panthers, but that the club was not interested then. Years ago, Vokoun was first drafted in the NHL entry draft by another Canadian team, the Montreal Canadiens. That's all the sport for today.
That was Jan Wellinger with the latest sports news. Thank you very much for that, Jan. And now in our one-on-one, we have the first part of what is a two-part interview for you. Jindřich Šidlo has been working as a journalist for two decades. It is safe to say that he has experienced most of the scandals, upheavals, and milestones in recent Czech history. After a 9-year stint at the weekly Respekt, where he says he learned his craft, he worked for a variety of dailies as well as the public broadcaster Czech TV. Currently, Šidlo is a political analyst at the daily Hospodářské noviny. In this two-part interview, we talk to him about what it is like to cover Czech politics for such a long time, if he ever gets tired of it, and what first spurred his interest in becoming a journalist.
I grew up in 70s and 80s, which was not the best time to decide to be a journalist, but first I started to think about it. It was like in 1986 or 7. When I read a magazine called Mladý Svět, and I liked it very much, and I started to write my own pieces for myself in my notepad, reviews for concerts and records. And I told my mother that I wanted to study journalism, and she said that I was crazy at the time, but things at the age of the 80s helped me a lot. So I was 17 years old in 1989, and I graduated from high school in 1991, and I decided to study journalism, which was not the best decision of my life, but I'm happy that I've made the decision to become a journalist.
How did you experience as a young man, as a graduating teenager, the tumultuous events of the Velvet Revolution? Did that really start your interest for politics also?
No, I'm not sure that I can say that was the beginning of my interest for politics. But you are right, I was a teenager. I was 17 years old, and it was one of the most important and most fascinating experience of my life. We went to the strike at high school, and which is a funny thing. Every year at the anniversary of the revolution, Czech television used to broadcast old scenes from that time, and I usually get lots of text messages and emails from my friends because my high school was the closest high school to Czech television, or Czechoslovak television at the time headquarters. So they came to our school and wanted to make an interview with students, and students, pupils from the school decided I was the right person to speak with them. So that was the beginning of my public career, as I can say, but I'm joking a little.
That's a good start, for sure. You worked then for the weekly Respekt for 9 years during the 1990s, which also saw a lot of interesting developments in Czech society and, you know, the transformation. How did you experience this period, and was it kind of a luxury or a journalist's paradise to get to report on these very interesting events?
I was 19 or almost 20 when I joined Respect in 1992. And I felt that my dreams had fulfilled, because I admired Respect from the very beginning. I was a regular reader of Respect, and I admired people in this weekly and guys like Ivan Lamper, Jaroslav Spurný, and guys like this. They were my child heroes. So I was very surprised and proud when I was offered a job in Respect as a teenager, because before I worked in Český Deník Daily, which was such a revolver right-wing daily, forgotten today. And I started to learn journalism. I studied at the university, but my real university and my only university was 9 years in Respect. And everything I learned in my journalistic life, I learned in Respect. And since today, I am a friend of many people in Respect, and I am very thankful to them, because they taught me everything. And sometimes it was very hard, because I was very young, and I just wasn't able to discuss and bring arguments, for example, to discussions with my editor Ivan Lamper. So sometimes I suffered a lot, but I am very thankful. And when I left Respect in 2001. I realized how important this part of career was for me, and till today I use experiences and all things I learned in Respect.
And you went from there to a daily Mladáfront at Dnes. How did you experience the difference between working in a weekly, where you maybe have more time to do your research, and then working in a daily?
Sure, it was completely different job, but I knew a lot about the daily program or daily process in newspapers, because in the time I worked for Respect, I also collaborated with Lidové Noviny as an editor. So I knew a little, not a lot, a little, but sure, I was surprised, because I was made to speed up. And it was also very interesting for me, because the first thing I covered for Mladáfront Dnes was the aftermath of 9/11. I was in Mladáfront for 2 weeks, and suddenly things happened, and they tried to find someone who knew New York, who had American visa at that time, and who was able to speak English a little. And I was the only one, and it was one of the most interesting moments of my career. I spent a week in New York at that time, and I still remember it.
And you have worked for a variety of media organizations, also for Czech TV. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could talk a bit about what the quality is of reporting in the Czech Republic, and where you think journalism still could be improved, or where there are some shortcomings.
I'm not sure that I'm the best critic of Czech journalism, but I've experienced a lot, so I remember a lot. And, you know, after 1989, there was a strange and, on one side, very interesting period, which cannot be repeated once again, that people at the age of 20 started to interview prime ministers and politicians, and people at the age of 25 became editors-in-chiefs. Well, today we are 20 years older, and editors-in-chiefs are 40 years old, and sometimes more. And I feel that my generation should be more responsible for the development of Czech journalism, for quality. The problem of Czech journalism, we have many problems. We cannot compare ourselves with British journalism, German journalism, American journalism. I spent a month in the Daily Times in London in 2005, and, well, it was like, you can't compare it. It's like to compare Bohemians Prague with Arsenal. But we work in completely different conditions, but there are still rules and habits we should know. And I'm not sure that all Czech journalists just know what they are supposed to do. And the other thing is that the Czech journalists are not used to criticize themselves, because the market is quite small, and probably you will meet each other once or more times during your career. So maybe I could say that I'm a little disappointed with the level of Czech journalism today. It seems to me that some years ago we were more accurate or it was not so easy to spin up pieces we wrote, but maybe that's not true. That's just my idea, and I'm still waiting for another generation of journalists coming from the university who will just change the situation and who will tell us dinosauruses, get out. We know much better than you how to do good newspapers and good news. But I'm waiting for more than 10 years and nothing happens.
And there was actually one story that broke yesterday that a boy who had claimed that he was brutally beaten up by Romanis had actually just injured himself. And of course, the media before this came to light had reported on the fact that he was brutally beaten up by Romanis. I would just be interested what you think is the role of Czech media in reporting about these tensions that are a big issue in this country between Romanis and white mainstream Czechs, if I can call them that. Where do you think does the media fail?
Well, I spent almost 10 years writing about the relationship between Romanis and Czechs, let's say. And at that time, during the 90s, we, were probably the only one who, with Mladá Fronta, who wrote about the topics with another way a little. That we told people the situation was not so easy as they see from their everyday life. That all problems, which are serious, sure, have very deep roots in the past. But I think that something has changed recently, that even media who behave, let's say, decently covering these topics just recognized that the best way how to chase readers is to share their prejudices, which is a big disappointment for me. And seriously, I don't understand how Pavel Schaffer, editor-in-chief of Blesk, which is the best-selling Czech daily, can sign articles and comments which are published in his daily and which are pure racistic. And even in the past, Czech tabloid didn't share or didn't have this policy, anti-Roma policy. Now something has changed, and the case you were talking about in Vyslav was not the only one. Just remember the case and the story, the false story, fake story about the Romani party, this guy from the never-existing Roma party who was told to steal all money from the members, which is completely fake. And even serious Czech media just brought this story and they didn't check facts. And why? What was the story about? About a party with supposed number of people, let's say 15? But the story was that they were Romas and they just confirmed all prejudices of Czech society against Romas. And I think that it's really very dangerous, and that the responsibility of journalists and Czech media is not to add to worsening situation and relationship between Romas and white Czechs, if I can use this term.
That was Jindřich Šidlo, my guest in this new edition of One on One. And we are now rounding off our regular weekday program with the ABC of Czech, our popular Czech language learning series.
Welcome to the ABC of Czech, Radio Prague's Czech language course, which this season looks at Czech food and cuisine. I'm joined by
Martin Mikule.
And in today's lesson, we'll be talking about some traditional Czech fruit dishes and cakes. Who hasn't heard of apple strudel?
Jablečný strudel.
Or
jablečný závin.
The Central European apple pie with nuts and raisins and cinnamon. Apple strudel is one of those dishes that everyone swears their own mother makes best. Another favorite fruit pastry, which is mainly made in the summer, is
třešňová bublanina,
or cherry soufflé, literally cherry bubble cake. When fresh cherries are no longer available, stewed cherries will do. Unfortunately, preserving fruit for the winter seems to be dying out, and very few young people know how to do it these days. My grandmother used to make preserves and jams from all kinds of fruit. Preserved cherries,
třešňový kompot,
or apricots,
merinkový kompot,
were never missing on her Sunday table. She also made blackcurrant jam,
rybízová marmeláda.
Note that unlike marmalade, the Czech
marmeláda
can be made from any fruit, not just citrus fruit. My granny also made her own syrups in the summer. Blackcurrant syrup,
rybízový syrup,
and raspberry syrup,
malinový syrup.
Add soda water and you get
malinová šťáva,
or
malinovka.
A lovely refreshing drink in the summer. Children sometimes use the word
malinovka
to refer to blood. It sounds less scary. In the Slovak language,
malinovka
means any kind of fizzy, non-alcoholic drink. A traditional Czech fruit dish that should never be forgotten is
ovocné knedlíky.
Fruit dumplings, basically pieces of fruit stuffed in a ball of dough, which is then cooked in hot water. They are usually eaten for lunch in the summer. Eating
knedlíky,
sprinkled with caster sugar and with melted butter poured over the dumplings, is a childhood memory that's difficult to forget. If you don't know how to make them, you can buy them ready-made and frozen. And finally, we have two handy idioms for you. Czech sweet dishes are so tasty you wolf them down.
Slupnete jako malinu.
You gulp them down like a raspberry. At the end of today's lesson, that idiom was something like
třešnička na dortu.
The cherry on the cake, or the icing on the cake in proper English. We hope you've enjoyed the fruits of our work today, and till next time, bye-bye and
dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
Pavla Horáková with ABC of Czech wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. But of course, all of our programs and other material are available at our internet address radio.cz, and there you can also look through a huge archive of reports in both text and audio form. Also, make sure to use our podcasting and sign up for a free news email. You can also find us on Facebook, where we have a profile under the name of Radio Prague, and share your thoughts on the program on our wall there. Or if you would like to, you can email us to english@radio.cz. And for those who are a little old-fashioned and enjoy writing letters, our postal address here is Vinohradská 12, 12099, Prague 2. And we also have a Twitter account. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from myself, Sarah Borivka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.